I'm glad to be here and very grateful for this opportunity to share with all of us the Word of God this morning. I'm grateful that I can be joined by my wife who waved us. The children are upstairs in the Sunday school. And it was interesting when I was being asked about the pronunciation of the names of my children. I never thought I'd come to a Chinese church and have to give instructions about how to pronounce Chinese names. But such is life. This morning, we want to look at a couple of passages of Scripture as I share this morning. One we already read as part of our reading this morning, and the second one, which I will read just now. But so let me read again 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. It reads like this. Behold, what manner of love is this the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as he is pure. The second passage is from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 18. It reads thusly, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we call Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Shall we pray? Almighty God, our Father, we pray as this morning we are before your presence, you would speak to us through your word, enlighten our understanding, and make our hearts as fertile ground for the seed of your word, that it would bear fruit in our lives. We don't want to be as those beholding themselves in a mirror look and go away and forget what they look like, but we want to be fruitful disciples. So we pray that your word would find fertile soil in our hearts, and that we'd be fruitful disciples from this word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the context of the sermon, or what we're talking about, is it worth it? Which deals with the question really of value, you know. And I've been thinking a bit about value. We're doing some very small renovation in our house. So there's a lot of question about, is it worth doing this renovation of our bathroom? And should we spend this much? But even more than that, as the elder said, I am in Ghana. And in Ghana, as in most countries in the world, when you buy things, the price is often not fixed. You negotiate. You bargain. And so anytime you go to the market, someone gives you a price, it's the opening bid. And you begin from there to negotiate. And sometimes you even walk away. And so, oh, it's too much. I won't pay it. And then, no, you come back. How much will you? And you go back and forth. And at the back of your mind, you're always wondering, is it worth the price that I'm coming to pay? Am I being cheated? And particularly when you are not from the country. So the first time I went to Ghana and I'm negotiating and bargaining, you know, I'm wondering, am I getting the tourist price? Or am I getting the actual price? And when you don't know the actual value of the good, you can get cheated. And it's very easy to be cheated when you're a tourist. And sometimes we don't mind. It's okay. Part of being a tourist is getting cheated. But there are a lot of questions around value and worth, I think, in our society and in my life. And not just about bargaining for food in the marketplace. But my life as a missionary and as a student minister, I ask the question sometimes of value and worth. Is it really worth it to ask very talented, brilliant, hardworking students to take a full summer off, to raise thousands of dollars, get vaccinations, go halfway around the world, be exposed to malaria and typhoid and yellow fever? Is it worth it? When I've asked students who've graduated from very good schools, Vanderbilt and Emory and so on and so forth, you should not go into your medical profession. God is calling you to serve on staff with students. And I know what their parents will say when they come home. And I have to ask, is it worth it? What I'm asking them, is it really worth it? Especially when you're sending them out to ask money for support. They're wondering, are they wasting their education? And even though I've been in student full-time ministry for 18 years, I still sometimes ask the same question myself. Is it worth it? Because after all, I have a degree in finance. I could have gone into banking and made a lot more money than I make as a campus minister. But it's not just about money, and it's not just because I'm a pastor that I ask these questions. Every follower of Jesus should be asking this question, and it goes through our minds. It's an unacknowledged question, but it sits at the back of our minds. When we give in an offering, we sacrifice our time to come to a church meeting, or we trade in 30 minutes of sleep for quiet time, it never goes away. No matter how long you've been following Jesus, the question of value and is it worth it never really goes away. And you start asking yourself, have I been cheated? The Christian life, have I been cheated? And it's unfashionable to raise this question in church. Because, you know, church is where you all kind of come together and agree, yes, it's great, it's fine. But at the back of our mind, we wonder. And if we don't wrestle with this question, if we don't think about it seriously, the cost of discipleship, then our Christian life sometimes is very shallow. Which brings us to our texts, the 1 John 3 and the Romans 8 passage, both of which talk about sonship, about identity, about suffering, and about worth. And they quantify for us the intangible and unspoken price that is often paid by those who would follow Jesus with their whole lives authentically. And I use the word authentically because I want to note that simple belief does not a Christian make. The Bible says even the demons believe and they tremble. So belief is not all. It is about submitting oneself to the leadership and the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I know that some of us may be in the same situation. It's not the time to be soft and polite. Sometimes we can be in church and have never submitted our lives to the lordship of Jesus Christ. We just come to church because it's the thing to do. It's because where our friends are. It's because where our parents have brought us. There is a price to be paid for authentic discipleship. And the question is it worth it? Now, looking at this text, one of the things that we note is it says that those who are children of God are not known by the world. People who have made themselves slaves of Christ are people who have become anonymous to the world. And the word itself, anonymous, literally means without a name. To be anonymous is to be a person of no regard or esteem in the eyes of others. It is to be an unknown servant. The best service you can receive at a hotel or a restaurant is service that you don't notice. It's just like an airline pilot. The best service of an airline pilot is when you don't think about the pilot. If you think about the pilot, it's a problem. To be anonymous is to be like Christ. It is not that Jesus was not known in the absolute sense. I mean, people knew who he was. But his whole mission, his whole focus was not on himself. He was not the kind of person to snap a selfie and post it on Instagram in hopes that he would get a lot of likes. His focus was to do the will of him who sent him. And in the same way, authentic discipleship, authentically following Jesus, prioritizes obedience to the Father and glorification of his Son over and above any comfort, convenience, or credit that may accrue to himself, to myself. You see, it is very costly to follow Jesus in a culture that is obsessed with celebrity, in a world that places you at the center. Everything is about you. Even your Facebook feed has an algorithm that will determine what advertisements will appeal to you specifically. It's all about you, but not in the cost of following Jesus. It is costly to live so that it is not I, but Christ who lives in me. It is costly to give up control of where I work, where I live, who I can date, how I spend my money, what kind of clothes I wear, all the other things that the world tells me are all about me. You see, the truth is, if we are honest, I want to be thanked. I want to be acknowledged. I want credit for all that I do and all the accomplishments that I have made. I want to express myself. I want to exercise my freedom. But the Apostle John tells us no. To be a follower of Jesus is to be unknown. It's to be hidden. Even as Christ hid himself so that God would be glorified. Is it worth it? The cost of discipleship in Romans is spelled out as suffering. Now, when Paul wrote the letter, he knew about suffering. He had been imprisoned for the proclamation of the gospel, and it wasn't like our prisons now. It was a dungeon. And as disciples of Jesus, one thing that we are certainly promised is suffering. And I don't mean the suffering of sitting through this sermon. Not that kind of suffering. Suffering is part of the Christian life, and we don't talk about it very much. We don't like to talk about suffering in the American church. And I've spent my life in the American church, in the Black church, in the Asian American church. We don't like to talk about suffering. I mean, we talk about it, but only sort of theoretically and abstract. Because oftentimes the focus is on a quid pro quo relationship with God. If you serve God well, he will bless you and make you prosperous. I mean, we maybe not say it quite like that, but really that's kind of what we think. I serve God really well, and so he's blessed my business. I've served God really well. That's why I'm able to have all of these nice things. We don't know suffering, and we don't like to talk about suffering. I don't like to talk about suffering. We don't like to talk about the suffering of Christians in the Islamic world, where conversion to Christianity may mean a death sentence, and it certainly means being kicked out of your house. One of my good colleagues in school in Ghana is a converted Muslim. And when he became a follower of Jesus, it meant no more funds for his education. It meant living with some people who were not his family. They kicked him out. We don't like to think about the suffering of people in places like North Korea, which was once the center of Christianity in East Asia, but where now followers of Jesus are taken away to death camps. We don't want to discuss suffering, and our brothers and sisters around the world are far ahead of us in this regard, because Paul says, if we suffer with him, we will glorify together with him. Now, I am not saying I want persecution to come, please, I beg. I'm not a fan of persecution. I'm not praying for persecution. But I've learned something, that it is not persecution that is the main problem the church faces. It is not difficulties that drive us away from God. It is rather prosperity. Prosperity is our problem. It is when we are well-fed and content, able to go anywhere, do anything, buy anything, that we are most discontent. It is when we have what we need that we complain about what we don't have. We will have trouble in this life. And the Bible is very clear. Some of us are called to die for the gospel. And all of us are called to live for the gospel. And the promise of Scripture is that those who follow him, this life will not be an easy life. That we'll be prosperous, that we will never lack anything. No, it's not true. The promise is that if we suffer with him, we'll be glorified together with him. Is it worth it? Now, the third thing I want to highlight about the price of being a disciple is in the third verse of the 1 John passage. It says that those who follow Jesus pay the price of purity, of holiness. He says here that they purify themselves even as Jesus is pure. Now, purity and holiness also are not popular subjects. I work on college campuses. Purity and holiness are far from very popular. It is uncomfortable for me to preach. It is uncomfortable for you to hear about how believers ought to consider the purity and holiness of their speech, the purity and holiness of their music collection, of their entertainment, of their dating relationships, how they spend their money. Nobody wants to talk about purity and holiness when it comes to these things. It is not a popular thing to call into question the wholesale embrace of American consumer culture that tells us it is okay to spend hundreds of dollars and hours of time shopping for whatever you want. The best equipment for your computer, the latest gaming system, which I must confess is my temptation. Whatever it is we like to do while we, you know, drop whatever happens to be left over into the collection plate and complaining about churches being all about money. It's not popular to talk about holiness in church. It isn't easy to preach about how Christians always seem to find a way to justify greed and pride and racism and engaging in extramarital sex, and still balancing that with the truth of God being the God of grace and love and forgiveness for all our sins. I don't like having to talk about sin, because anytime I talk about righteousness and judgment and I'm pointing at you, the fingers are pointing back at me and I have to check myself. So I don't like talking about sin. I feel unworthy to tell anyone what they are doing wrong, because I have my own issues I have to contend with. And it is much easier to blame the world and lay the responsibility on Jesus for somehow making me holy. But here John clearly tells us that those who have this hope in Christ purify themselves, indicating that it is not just Jesus' responsibility, but it is our own. He tells us that the price of discipleship is exercising the self-discipline necessary to make choices in keeping with my Christian commitment. The price of being an authentic disciple is that there are some things I simply cannot do. Some places I cannot go. Some music I cannot listen to. God has definite opinions about my entertainment, about my relationships, about my lifestyle, the way I use my money. I am responsible to obey. And this obedience is not cheap and it is not popular. And I am tempted, as I'm sure you are tempted, to lower the standards of God's commands to make them easier for me to meet. But John gives Jesus himself as the standard. We are to purify ourselves even as he is pure. Is it worth it? And that is the essential question after all, isn't it? Whether we have been following Jesus for a very long time or have yet to make him Lord of our lives, the challenge of the cost of discipleship remains the same. There's a German theologian named Dietrich Bonhoeffer in a book called The Cost of Discipleship. And he says this: the disciple is only a disciple insofar as he shares his Lord's suffering and rejection and crucifixion. Discipleship means adherence to the person of Jesus and therefore submission to the law of Christ, which is the law of the cross. He says further, this is Bonhoeffer again, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. So let us not be any way deceived or misinformed. To follow Christ, to be an authentic disciple, is to pay the price of being an anonymous servant, a slave really. It is to pay the price of suffering, of living and dying for the sake of the gospel. It is to pay the price of self-discipline, holiness, and purity of life. Quite honestly, the price is far higher than any of us would like to admit. If we were bargaining in the marketplace with God, I'm sure we would be tempted to walk away. But there must be something about this that is compelling for us to go forward. Both passages of Scripture tell us honestly about the cost, but there is more than that in these passages. It tells us the reason why the price is worth paying. John says, now we are the children of God. We are the sons of God. And our true nature, what we really are, has yet to be fully revealed. But we know that when Christ comes, and he will come, we will be like him, for we will see him just as he is. Paul puts it even more powerfully by reminding his readers that the sufferings and the challenges and the sacrifices entailed in being a follower of Jesus are not worth comparing to the glory that shall be revealed in us. In other words, yes, the price is high, unimaginably high, but it is worth it. You see, our biggest problem is the horizon of our expectations are too low. We are made for eternity. We spend all of our time living as though what we see before us is all that we will ever know. We were made for eternity. But the truth is that you and I were made for glory. The ordinary life we live, with all of its challenges and all of its joys, is not even in the same category. It is not even worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Our lives are ordinary, yes, but you and I are extraordinary. We are glorious beings made in the image of the eternal God. We live and walk every single day as carriers of the very image and the presence and the power of Almighty God. If we return to this question of value, the issue, the cost, the suffering, purifying ourselves, if we understand that what we will see as a result of that is the fullness of the glory of God revealed in our lives and in our beings and in eternity, the question really answers itself. You see, in Ghana, they do gold mining. And when you mine for gold, it is very dirty and messy business. It's dangerous business. People suffer in the mines. They come out and look horrible. And when you see unrefined gold, it's not very attractive. But the process, the labor, the struggle of digging out this gold, refining it, is not worth comparing to the final results. Beloved brothers and sisters, you and I are worth far more than gold. We are far more valuable. And every sacrifice that Christ calls you to as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I assure you, it is indeed worth it. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus Christ, you who gave yourself to us, for us and for our salvation, you gave up glory to live among us, to show us the way, the path of discipleship. You called us to come and die with the promise of eternal life and eternal glory. Grant us, God, the faith to believe you, to live as anonymous citizens and servants, to suffer with you, and to purify ourselves even as you are pure, so that we may see your glory revealed in us and in the world. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.